Here we see in the story of Genesis where not only Joseph was a special young man, but if you were in Joseph's shoes, you would think that everything is against me. Because everything, the way it happened to Joseph by his brothers hating him, and then being sold to Egypt and coming under the house of Potiphar, and then Potiphar's wife not only going after him but lying about the situation and trying to seduce him, and then saying that he tried to rape her, and then in reward against Joseph, he gets rewarded to go to jail for 2 years. But there the scripture said that the Lord was with him. God was already preparing the way for Joseph. God was preparing the way, because sometimes whatever we're going through, God will test you. He will test your integrity. He will test your life to see if the only time you're going to stay true to him is when everything's going the right way, or when everything is falling apart. That's when God expects you to trust him and to stay obedient to his word and to be a man and a woman of integrity. If Joseph would have given in to the temptation of Potiphar's wife, I don't think that the story would be the same today. I think Joseph would have missed out in what God intended to do in the life of Joseph. And that's the way it is with our own lives. It's not the Lord getting us out of the way. It's ourselves getting in the way of God. You see? And doing things that we should not be doing. And as God was getting ready to do this tremendous work in my life, and as I give in to sin, I give in to temptation, I only move myself out of the will of God. And God has to use somebody else to accomplish his work and to accomplish his things. That's why it's so important to be obedient to the word of God. Even as Joseph, even though everything was against him, it says the Lord was with Joseph all the way through. The Lord was with him, anointing him, watching over him. The sovereignty of God was over the life of Joseph, because God already could see ahead of time that in about 14 years, there would actually come a famine that was going to devastate the whole land of Egypt. And it's incredible, because when you see the hand of God, God already could see that there was a famine coming, and there really would not be anyone fit to take care of the people of Egypt plus the Hebrews. So God chose Joseph to allow him to be falsely accused and hated by his brothers, so that God could get Joseph down to Egypt, and there God would be with him, and at the right time, at the right place, God would raise him up, and he would be the one to spare the Jewish nation, as God would use him as a mediator between God and man. Incredible. I look at the things in my life, and it's amazing. I would have never thought that God could do what he's done here today if it was up to me. But it's how God's plan, and the things that I've had to go through, and the trials and the temptations and the situations that I found myself in the last 25 years, when I was murmuring and complaining and I thought I was going to die, and I thought, man, I can't do this anymore, Lord. And yet, as God was faithful, look what he's done in our lives. And he continues to do that as you give yourself to him. And this is the story of Joseph. And literally, this is the story of each one of our lives as we trust in the Lord. Notice, beginning with chapter 40, beginning with verse 1. We continue the story now. And it came to pass after these things. What things? Well, after Joseph was put in jail, and the Lord was with him, and he became in charge of the jailhouse as they trusted him, and God had his hand upon Joseph. Look what happens now. And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord and the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers and the chief butler and the chief baker. And so he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. Now, who would have ever thought that the butler and the baker would be with Joseph? And that God not only would use Joseph with the butler and with the baker. But later on, God would even promote Joseph into the right hand of the Pharaoh of Egypt. And he would be the one that would be leading Egypt into righteousness. Is God already had his hand on him. Now, we don't know why the butler and the chief baker went to jail, but I have a clue. I think, you know, when you think about the position they were in, it could be that somebody probably set a plot to kill the king of Egypt. And so when he found out there was a plot, both of these men found themselves in jail. And what's going to happen here is that God is going to reveal who will live and who will die. And Joseph will be the instrument to interpret the dreams that God will give to the butler and to the officer, or literally to the baker. You'll see that in a moment. But look what it says, verse 4. And then the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And so they were in custody for a while. And then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined to prison, they dreamed a dream. Both of them, each man dreamed in one night, in each man's dream with his own interpretation. And then Joseph came in into the morning, and he looked at them, and he saw that they were not happy, but they were sad. Joseph knew something was up, as you can see that here. 13 years now, Joseph now has been in Egypt. And look what it says. And so Joseph asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have dreamed a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." And then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Joseph already here is bringing glory and honor to Jehovah God. For he knows that the butler and the baker, they're Egyptians, and that the Egyptians have over 3,000 gods. But he knows that he only has one God. And that no matter even if the Egyptians have magicians that can interpret omens, he knows that the only one that can truly interpret a true dream is Jehovah Yahweh, or Elohim, God of Joseph. And so here he steps out and he says, "Hey, I will interpret for you." Verse 9. And then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and its blossom shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. And then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And then Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your own place, and you will be put in Pharaoh's cupbearer and his hand according to the former manner when you were in," notice, "where you were in the butler." What literally happened is that God gave this guy a dream that he was going to be released and he was going to be promoted into the right hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. But verse 14, "But remember me when it's well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention to me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house." Notice, now I've interpreted for you your dream. You're going to be released in 3 days. And I want you to know one thing. When you get to Pharaoh, why don't you remind me, why don't you remember me and have me get, you know, taken out of this place. Believe it or not, God is the one that not only promotes and the one that keeps back and the one that releases people. God allowed this young man to be released in 3 days and to go back and to be at the right hand of Pharaoh. But the Lord allowed him to totally forget for 2 years about Joseph. God wanted Joseph 2 more years in jail. It was not God's perfect time to be released from this place where Joseph found himself. And it must have been totally frustrating in the life of Joseph. But Joseph understood the sovereignty of God, that God was in control of everything. Because he says here, "Remember to tell them who I am so that you can get me out of here." Verse 15. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that should put me into this dungeon. He's pleading his case. And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there I had three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all kinds of baked goodies for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket of my head. And Joseph answered, well, your dream is a bad dream. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to take your head off. Notice that. And Joseph answered and said to him, this is the interpretation of it. 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. So he must have been the guilty one. The one that was not guilty was released by the Lord. But here we see God working again among even these Egyptians. And now it came to pass on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all the servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, just as God said that he would. Notice that God's word comes to pass. And then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, and Joseph was interpreted to them, just as he did, and yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but he forgot him. Notice, it was not him, it was God doing the whole thing concerning the life of Joseph. Now, one thing that I wanted to share just a little bit about is because many times people come to me and say, Raul, how do you know when you have a dream from the Lord? Whenever I have a dream and I don't understand it, I write it down and I wait for further instructions from the Lord. I don't take everything as God's dream, as a warning or something that God is trying to speak to me. You know, sometimes you've been eating too many tacos and what happens is you'll have a lot of big dreams. So you have to be careful to discern what's of the Lord and what's not of the Lord. What's heartburn and what's dreaming for sure. But it's so important that when we do have a dream from the Lord, which, you know, people have had warning dreams. My wife's a dreamer. She dreams all the time. And a lot of the dreams that she's dreamed actually have come to pass. But as far as I can tell you from my experience, I've only had one dream and one half vision where God spoke to me. But I think it's wise that we know that the scriptures, especially in the book of Joel chapter 2 and then also books of Acts chapter 2, he said that in the last days, young men and young women will not only be having visions, but dreams, all men will be dreaming dreams. In the last days, I believe that God does speak to us through dreams, warning dreams, dreams that will come to pass. But that's between you and the Lord, where you have to discern what is really of God. And if you don't understand it, you need to wait upon God to bring the interpretation as you write it down. And then as it comes to pass, you will see that surely God has spoken to me. So dangerous to be careful that we don't start saying that every dream is of the Lord, because that can get you in trouble, you see. It's like so many people say, the Lord told me to tell you. I'm really scared for people when they do that, because it's so important that we understand that when God speaks to any one of us, he speaks to us individually through his Holy Spirit. Most of the time when God speaks to me personally, he speaks to me as I am reading the word of God. In the scriptures, just speak to me. Not in an audible voice, because I'll probably have a heart attack. But he speaks to me as I am reading. It's something that will stand out in the Bible, something that will bear witness with my spirit. And I'll stop and I'll examine my life before the Lord. And the Lord says to me, this is what I'm talking to you about. You see, and that's how he communicates with me. That's how God speaks to me. And most of the time, this is the way God speaks, through a pastor teacher as we're teaching the word of God. You know, there's been times where maybe God will have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or prophecy while we're teaching the word of God. When I've done things where I'm teaching the word of God, and afterwards a wife will come up to me, or a husband, and say, hey, did my wife talk to you before the service? I said, no. Why? He said, well, as you were talking, it seems like my wife had met you before the service and told you all my problems. I said, I didn't know nothing about you. It's the Holy Spirit, you see. God's Holy Spirit speaks to us through his word as we're teaching the word of God. And so we need to be open how God would speak to each one of us and how he would want us to not only operate, by the Holy Spirit, but how he would want to use my life in knowing his voice and knowing his word just here like Joseph. And so we continue the story now as Joseph now is forgotten for 2 more years. And then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. Now the big wheel has a dream. And the king had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. And suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadows. And then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, notice, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly cows, notice, they ate up the 7 fine-looking cows. They were fat. And so Pharaoh awoke from his dream. You see, what Pharaoh doesn't realize now is that here is Joseph in prison. Is God now has prepared him for the last 13, 15 years now, for the right time, for the right moment, for the right dream, is God now is going to speak to Joseph, and he's going to be let out at God's timing out of prison, and he will interpret the total dream that God has given to King Pharaoh about the famine that is coming, and he will use Joseph to bring balance to the nation of Egypt. Look what he says, verse 4 or 5. And then he slept and he dreamed a second dream. And suddenly 7 heads of grain came up, 1 stalk plump and good. And then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And then the seven thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. And so Pharaoh awoke indeed and was in dream. And now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called all of the magicians of Egypt, as it is with the wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. You see, it was only the Lord. It was only Joseph that was able to do that, because it was God giving the dream to who? To Pharaoh. And it because it had to do with the people of God. That God had to use Pharaoh and Joseph to interpret the dream here. Because these magicians, literally, when they ever interpret dreams like the today, palm readers, card readers, crystal ball readers, astrologers, when they interpret omens, they're always being spoken to by demons. Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18 talks about that. Demons are the ones that speak to these people, because demons have been around for a long time. But the only one that can truly speak the truth about God is that person that knows God. That's it. And which, of course, is the Word of God. And so we see here now God preparing the way for Joseph to interpret the dream. Watch this, verse 9. God's perfect time here. And then the chief butler, after 2 years, spoke to Pharaoh and said, "You know what? I remember my faults this day. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and you put us in jail. Remember that? In the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We each dreamed a dream one night, and he and I, and each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. And now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened, and he restored me to my office, and he hanged, notice, and you hanged the other man. And then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved, and he changed his clothing at the same, and he came to Pharaoh. In that time, the Egyptians, they didn't grow beards or anything like that. They shaved their heads, and they shaved every part of their body where there was hair. I mean, this is the tradition of the Egyptians. And so here now, Joseph looks like an Egyptian, no longer like a Hebrew. And then the Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one that can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand dreams to interpret it." Notice, when he stands before Pharaoh, Pharaoh begins to kind of puff up Joseph. He says, Joseph, I've heard from many people that you're the greatest. You're the one that when people have dreams, they'll come to you and you know exactly what takes place in their lives. Watch the humility and the glory and the honor and the power in the life of Joseph that he gives to God. And so Joseph answered, verse 17 or 16. And so Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of, notice, of peace. Notice that. How important it is immediately when people begin to point to the vessel that you point them back to God and not take the credit. God will not share his credit or his glory with any person ever. When you start thinking and people start buttering you up and start saying, oh man, I really like the way you do this. I like the way you do that. I like the way you play guitar or you sing or you preach whatever. And you start saying, well, you know, it's really not me, but wow, thanks. Be careful. Be careful because, you know, God will not share his glory with anybody. Who gave you the gift? Who gave you the talent? Who gave you anointing? Who gave you the opportunity to stand up here and play or to speak? It's the Lord. Otherwise, you couldn't do it. It's the Lord that does everything. And here Joseph makes sure that they understand that it's the Lord. It's not me. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream I stood on the banks of the river. And suddenly 7 cows came out from the river, fine looking, fat, and they fed in the meadows. And then behold, 7 other cows came up after them, poor, very ugly, and skinny, such ugliness as I have never seen in all of my entire life in the land of Egypt. And then the little skinny ugly cows, they ate up the fat 7 cows. And when they had eaten them, he says, up, no one would have known, he says, no one who should have known that they had eaten them, for they were just as ugly as the beginning. So when I awoke and I saw in my dream, and suddenly 7 heads came up out of the stalk, full of good. And then behold, 7 heads withered thin and blighted by the east wind and sprang up after them. And then the thin heads devoured the 7 good heads. So I told this to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. You see, they couldn't do it because this was a divine dream by God. And then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh are one he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads are 7 years. Notice the dreams are one. And the 7 thin, ugly cows, which came up from them after them, are 7 years, and the 7 empty heads, blighted by the east wind, are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do in Egypt. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after that, 7 years of famine will arise, a total of 14 years. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will be depleted in the land. So if this is really of the Lord, Joseph will not only become the one that interprets the dream, but God will give him the insight and the wisdom and the knowledge on how to organize so that all of Egypt can be fed, and all of his family in Palestine not only will come down to buy, you know, food from him, but God uses Joseph as his master planner. It's God's plan in how they can survive the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of emptiness. Is God gives him the wisdom. Look what he says. Verse 31. And then so the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And then the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, you see. And God will surely bring it to pass. It's the Lord doing it. And now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and a wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Notice that Joseph doesn't promote himself. He's recommending that he would use somebody that knows how to organize. Somebody that would be able to do this whole work. He says, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint an officer or overseer over the land to collect 1/5 or 20% of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of plentiful years. So by taking 20% of the people and 20% of everything that they have, that would give them enough to actually overcome the famine. And then let him gather all the food of those good years that there are coming, and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in their cities. And then that food shall be as a reverse or as a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. And so the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Everybody was pleased. And then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Notice what he says. These Egyptians were not loving the same God, and yet they recognized that the Spirit of the Lord is over the life of Joseph. Through the life of Joseph, these men came to recognize the one true living God, the Lord Jehovah God, the God of Joseph. Notice what it says. And then Pharaoh said, verse 41, to Joseph, "See that I have set you now over all the land of Egypt." Can you imagine? Here he says, now you're going to be second in command to me. You're over everything. He never thought that would ever happen. But yet, it was God's doing. And then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand, and he put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him with garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And then he had him ride second chariot, which he had. And he cried out before him, "Bow the knee." And so they set him over all the land of Egypt. Does that sound like Joseph's dream? Remember? Where everybody was going to be bowing before him? Yes, it is. Here God has set him up. But this, his dream doesn't come to pass until 20 years later. Imagine that. It's God's perfect time in his life. And then verse 45. And then Pharaoh called Joseph's name. They changed it to an Egyptian name. Zephaniah Panichias, which means the revelation of dreams or revealer of dreams. And he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And so Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He was young. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. Why? Because God was behind the whole thing. And so he gathered up all the food for 7 years which were in the land of Egypt. And then he laid up the food in the cities and laid up the in every city food in the fields which surrounded them. Notice he's a good organizer, a good administrator. And then Joseph gathered very much grain in the sand of the sea until it stopped counting, for it was without number. And so Joseph were born 2 sons to him before the 2 years of famine came, who Asenatha, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore him. And Joseph called his name of the firstborn Manasseh, which means make me forgetful. Forgetting what? Forgetting of all the persecution, all the things that he went through, his brothers. He's not trying to forget all those things. Notice that. That's his son's name. For God has made me to forget all of my toil in all my father's house. And then the name of the second he called Ephraim, which means fruitfulness. Why? For God has caused me to become fruitful in the land of my affliction. Notice that. Everything the Lord had his hand on the life of Joseph here, as God now is seeking to make him a great man. And then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended. And then the 7 years of famine began to come. So now it's 21 years. 13 and 7 is 21 years now that this whole thing has happened. And now God is going to begin to deal not only with Joseph, but now he's going to deal with his brothers. Watch in a moment. And then the 7 years of famine began to come. And Joseph had said the famine was all in the lands. But it was, he says, but in all the lands of Egypt there was bread. So when the land of Egypt was actually famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, then do it. And then the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because of the famine was severe in all of the lands. And through that, Egypt became very prosperous and rich because of the plan that God had given to Joseph. And then for chapter 42, verse 1, notice, and when Jacob, now we go to Jacob, which is what? Joseph's dead. 21 years later, he's still alive. And when Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why don't you look at one another? And he said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to the place and buy for us there that we may live and not die. So God began to affect Jacob's home where they had no food. So God is literally using this so they will in turn go down to Egypt and God will begin to deal with them because the whole plan of God is to restore Joseph and his whole family together. That is the plan of God, which they don't see it yet. Joseph is going to get his turn not to harass his brothers after 21 years. This is a great story in the Bible. Watch this. And then he said again, verse 3. And then, so Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin. He was the young one. He was like Joseph. They were the favorites with his brothers. For he said, lest some calamity befall him. I can't trust him with his brothers. The last one never came back. Why should I send this one? I'm keeping him for myself. Notice he's still doing that. And then the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And as Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth, Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke to them roughly to them. And then he said to them, where do you come from? And notice, and they said, well, from the land of Canaan to buy food. What happened is that they did not recognize him because he looked like an Egyptian. He spoke Hebrew and he spoke Egyptian now. And when he saw them, he was so blown away because he couldn't believe that his brothers were right in front. These are the guys that put me in the pit. And he's thinking, now I'm going to get even with them. He started kind of mistreating them right here. Watch this. And Joseph recognized, verse 8, recognized his brothers. And they did not recognize him. And then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. Remember, he dreamed that his brothers would be bowing down to him. And they said, no possible way. Here they are. God's prophecy, 21 years later, coming to pass. He said this to them. He said, you are spies, and you have come to see the nakedness of this land. And he's playing now with their minds. Notice that. And they said to him, no, my Lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons, and we are honest men. Ha ha. Notice this. Your servants are not spies. But he said to them, no, but you have come to seek the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. In fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. And he's standing right in front of them. And he says, aha, you better believe it. He says, I'm right here. He doesn't tell them that. But what? This is so neat. What a beautiful story here. But Joseph said to them, he said, as I spoke to you saying you are spies, in this matter, he says, in this manner you shall be trusted or tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Oh, man. He says, you guys can't leave here unless you bring your youngest brother Benjamin to me. There's no possible way you're going to leave the land. Send one of you. And let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether this is of any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So now he's going to put them in jail. They're going to spend some time, just like he did. And so he put them all together in prison 3 days, just to play with them. Notice that. And then Joseph said to them the third day, do this do this and live, for I fear God. He says, are you honest men, lest one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses? He says, which one of you would like to stay back and all of you go back to your house and take with you so you can feed your family, but one of you is going to have to stay here to make sure you come back? Notice that. And then bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified and you shall not die. And they did so. And then they said to one another, man, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. Notice that guilt began to play them again. They started thinking, man, why did we ever kill our brother? They started thinking, man, we're dead now. Whatever we've sown, now we're going to be reaping in our own lives. 20 years later here now, this thing comes back to them in guilt. It's ripping them off. I mean, totally inside. Notice that. And then Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen to me. Therefore, behold, his blood is not required of us. He says, now God is punishing us. Now we've had it after 21 years. But they did not know that Joseph understood them. They're talking to one another, and he speaks Hebrew. And he's hearing the whole thing, saying, oh, huh. Notice this. And then he says, and then he turned himself away from them. He couldn't keep it anymore. He started crying. Notice, started weeping. And then he returned to them again. He didn't let them know that he was crying. And he talked with them. And he took Simeon, the oldest brother, from them and bound him before their eyes. I mean, he acted roughly. He put cuffs on them and he put him in jail, his oldest brother. And then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain and to restore every man's money in his sack and to give them provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. Now they didn't know that when he filled their sacks with grain, that the money was put back there. And Joseph will use this to accuse them, as that they're trying to rip off Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Joseph. Watch this. He's just playing with them. And then Joseph gave the command again to fill their sacks. Verse 26. And so they loaded their donkeys with the grain and departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money, and there it was in the mouth of his sack. And so he said to his brothers, my money has been restored, and there it is in my sack. And then their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, what is this that God has done to us? Notice that, we're in trouble. Again, guilt over their lives. And then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan, and they told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man who is lord of Egypt, of the land, spoke roughly to us and took us as for spies of the country. But we said to him, we are honest men, we are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of one father, and one is no more, and the youngest is with him, our father, this day in the land of Canaan. And then the man, the lord of the country, said to us, I mean, they should have said, why is he asking this? You know, he was kind of hinting in a way. By this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me and take food for the famine to your household and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men, and I will deliver your brother to you, that you may trade in the land. So he actually kept him to make sure they would come back, you see, to see if they're going to really do what God had said. And then it happened. As they emptied their sacks, to their surprise, each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw it in their bundles of money, they were afraid. They said, uh-oh, we're in deep trouble. And then Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me of my children Joseph. He is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. How many times you like Jacob, and I like Jacob, when everything is caving in, we start blaming God for everything. We say like Joseph, like Jacob here, all things are against me. Is that true? No, it's not. That's not true. Because God is in charge, you see. This is what he said, but this is not true. Why? Because in Romans 8:20 it says that all things, what? All things are in God is in charge of everything that he does. All things are not against me, but all things are for him to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here Jacob is, it's really not being true to what he's saying. Verse 37, notice. And then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, look, my father, I want you to kill my two sons, your two grandchildren, if I do not bring him back to you. That is Simeon. Put him in my hands, and I will bring Simeon back to you. But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity should befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Notice, he doesn't really trust them because of what's happened to Joseph. And so now, as these men are going to get ready to go back to Egypt, the story and the plot gets even heavier. Because Joseph will not only play with their minds. Joseph, because he's a type of Jesus Christ and because of his brothers, Joseph's heart will be tender, and God will use not only his brothers to bring Jacob down and Benjamin and the rest of them. When Joseph reveals himself to them and he says, I am Joseph, remember me, you guys. The same picture in the Old Testament when Jesus Christ comes back in Zechariah chapter 14 and the Jews see Jesus Christ, they're going to say that we put those nail prints in your hands and in your feet and in your side. Who did that to you? And he will say, this was done in the house of my brethren, a type of Christ. Yes, I am Joseph, and you are my brothers. And they were totally shocked to know that God had preserved Joseph after 21 years. And only because of the sovereignty of God is God would preserve the nation of Israel through the life of Joseph as a type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. We'll pick up when I get back from Israel. Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your grace and for the mercies that you extend to us every morning, Lord. Father, as we get back from Israel in 2 weeks, Father, we want to pick up in chapter 43 through 45, Lord. As we're coming not to the conclusion of the book of Genesis, and as we're coming to the end of the life of the man Joseph, Lord, we pray, God, that you would teach us, that you would lead us into all truth, and that we would be vessels unto your honor, God.